Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Adlang Podcast. Once again, I am Israel Hernandez, your host, and I'm joined by my co-host, Rich.
Hello, everybody.
And today we're going to be talking about a subject called generations in terms of age groups and gaps. And we want to discuss it because we see a great deal of this in our job. And in addition to that, we're going to go over two subtopics that deal with this, which is motivation and demotivation as we see it in our field. And of course, looking forward to your comments.
Okay, so let's start describing the framework we're going to use. We're going to talk about like four generations, starting with the baby boomers and starting finishing with generation Z or Z. So the baby boomers are the people who were born between 1946 and 1964. This generation was considered like a very good generation. They lived after the World War, and well, due to that happiness, they just started having babies. It's very funny to recall, because the people in this generation is said to be like very ethical people, like religious oriented. So they were very hardworking. Most of the people that are still alive, of course, are in very high positions, or they got already like some money to live by. In this time, the families were like very, very, very big. Maybe a marriage would have anywhere from 6 to 9 kids. And well, that was like
a lot
of kids.
No TVs around at that time.
Exactly.
No Netflix.
And that's why they're called the baby boomers, as you might know.
Right. Yeah, okay. And so moving on to next would be Generation X. From 1965 to 1976, more or less, these years are all, you know, kind of average from various resources. And this generation would be defined a little bit more differently, a generation that would be a little bit more perhaps rebellious to what the previous generation had stated. And we see that in the music that came out right around that time. We might recall groups from that time which were definitely revolutionary. And we just see a generation shifting, still holding to the values of their parents, the baby boomers, but now starting to evolve, starting to have new ideas. This generation still inherits, I believe, the hard work ethic of their parents, because, and I'm mentioning that because later on in the following generations, we would see a switch from that. So yes, these are the Gen Xers, and well, that kind of summarizes it. And so we go on to the next one.
Going on, we have the millennials. Of course, we have been hearing about them a lot in these recent years. These are the people who were born between 1977 and 1994. So most of the people that you may know right now are millennials. So now this group of people, or this generation, is considered to be one of the worst, unfortunately. And I would like to advocate against that prejudice, because there is that age range is just like so wide that in this generation you can find almost any kind of people. You can find people who is more like culture oriented, like or wisdom oriented, along the hard worker. And well, of course, many of these guys are still young. They should be like, I think, 24 year old. So well, maybe in the youngest parts of the generation, we might see why these people have become so talked about. Yeah, and it's because it is said that their working ethics aren't as strong as the one of their predecessors, and that's because they just want to live their lives as they conceive it. So they are against like this, just like working life that has been coming through these generations. As we have been saying, baby boomers were like hard workers. Generation X is where the workaholics started. And so millennials, the latest part of millennials, just want to go against that thing.
Well, yeah, very, very interesting, Rich. And I think we're gonna take a break here after we describe Generation Z or Generation Z, because I think there's a lot of comments to be made about millennials, especially because technically I would be considered a millennial, even though I don't feel like it. You would be, except you're a year off according to this chart. So we'll talk about that here in a few moments. But what I want to move on now is to the Generation Z or Z, and this is the generation that practically did not know the world prior to the internet. Their experience has been highly technological, whether it be just with consumption of digital means to a lifestyle that is just totally different in contrast to, for example, the baby boomers. This generation is seeing an entirely new different world, an evolution in so many different aspects of life. And some people are calling this generation a bit more, perhaps, sensitive because of the fact that things have changed so fast and so drastically for them, which has made them like this.
Okay.
Right. So as I was saying about Generation Z or Z, the biggest example I got, for example, is the example of my own children. I observe myself and the transition that was between my parents and I being born, and even them. And the thing that I observed the most is the, I don't want to say overprotectfulness, but I would say the desire to have these kind of kids highly privileged, in that the accumulation of pain that could have come from baby boomers, Generation Xers, all the way up to millennials, there's a natural desire for the people that oversee these children or teenagers to simply not want them to go through any kind of pain, or at least similar to the one that was endured by, you know, the previous generations. And so I see them as a very protected generation. I also see them as a very, you know, a generation that's going to be highly inclined towards wealth in a way that other generations hadn't seen before because of the internet. I mean, the simple fact that resources are, you know, able to be multiplied in a very short period of time, and for that to turn into some kind of revenue for them. I mean, you have kids nowadays that are doing Instagram videos, YouTube videos, and they're basically becoming millionaires from day to night, because there's a whole new economy nowadays with viral videos, with viral information, websites, blogs, that I believe is also a generation that's stepping into a new horizon, unlike the world had never seen before. So that's more or less the kind of ideas that I can give about this generation. And what I want to do now is I want us to make a quick transition to sort of the prejudice that's behind these generations, because of the fact that, you know, a lot of us don't necessarily feel that we match the generation that we have been given. And just by the standard that I just described, even some of our listeners would say, yeah, well, that is a description of that generation, but I don't necessarily feel like that. And I'm saying that because here we have my case, whom I'm supposed to be a supposed millennial, and we have the case of Rich, who by some standard is regarded as a millennial, but is regarded as a Z in these charts that we have here. So I want to go over sort of like what people go through and what it is to be categorized into a generation, even though you may not match all the qualities. So
okay, so as we have been saying, it is like, you know, millennials are supposed to be like this kind of rebellious, like no will to work, just going against the stream. What part of that don't you feel like fond of?
I don't feel fond of it, because I think that we have to take into account just maybe the way the world, or like just the West and the East, we can more or less even divide just how traditional countries can be. And in addition to that, not to be more biased, but definitely the way social classes persist throughout generations. I mean, there are going to be certain values, there are going to be certain ethics, there are going to be certain characteristics that are going to be transferred from generation to generation, which will almost remain, you know, unchangeable. So I think that if we don't take these things into account, we'll just basically assume that everybody, you know, is evolving. And while we certainly are, we can't assume that people evolve in every single aspect. Some people may just choose to evolve in things and just keep others that have benefited them throughout history. That's where I would make the way to distinguish is, for example, my parents taught me hard work. And even though I could categorically be a millennial, I'm not mad at hard work. To the contrary, I'm all about hard work, and I'm all about, you know, doing everything that you have to do to make your dreams come true, however these may be, from the personal to professional side. I was just enrooted in that. And so for anybody to think of me as, oh, you feel like you're entitled, you feel that the world owes you, that the government should owe you, that you're this, you're that, I would be in total disagreement with that idea. What about you, Rich? How do you feel about, do people regard you as a millennial, or maybe even a Generation Z? Like some of the comments that I made earlier, which could be like, oh, you guys are an overprotected generation. how do you feel about that?
Well, somehow it's kind of accurate. I have to recognize that Okay. Our generation, all the people that with who I share my age with, we have been like very privileged in the case of like most of we have had access to the internet, for example, to many like good things. Cell phones came by, of course, cameras, blogs. So like nowadays we are like in a very good position. Just check like talking about like, I don't know, like student records. Colleges now have like more options on what to study.
Right.
So we have like more options than ever. Of course, that thing can also be overwhelming sometimes.
Right.
So
right.
For a lot of people, it's like, hey, I don't know what to do with my life. Okay. And I think that's something that characterizes our generation.
Right.
And yeah, I need to feel recognized with that. At the beginning, I didn't know what to do with my life.
Right.
And as I was being kind of overprotected, and I wasn't given the chance like to taste the world, let's put it in that way.
Right.
You don't have the chance to make this trial and error that many most generations before have.
Right.
Even so, I have to blame your generation of something, of course. Yes, okay. As nowadays it's rougher for us to get, for example, better jobs or better things. Okay. Also, we need to recognize that this time has changed a lot. Insecurity is like on a rise.
Right.
So, parents have become overprotective because of that.
Okay.
So it's not like in our days in which you could go play on the street, you could be alone at night. So also, believe it or not, that forged character, man.
Well, but I would make a difference though, or I would like to try to distinguish the fact that it seems to me that maybe problems and insecurity and things like that have always been an issue. I would just say that now, with the power of the internet, I would say that there is a sense in which people are more aware of it, but it would be very interesting to analyze how much of it is just still, in terms of data and statistics, how much of it is still relatively the same. It is only that it permeates the internet world, it permeates all the media, and so we might have a feeling of being overwhelmed when the truth is, for example, crime in our country. Some people would make the argument that crime has always been at the rate that it has been. Maybe that it was much worse in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's just that it wasn't as televised. It's just that for whatever reasons, whatever agreements government may have had, it just wasn't, people weren't as aware of it. And so I would make it that difference of, is it still the same? Or is it just simply that it is being promoted more because there are more people? Everybody with a cell phone now is a reporter. So now all of us have the possibility to, you know, be a representative in our community, country, wherever we may be.
Well, look at us. We have a cell phone and we are doing a podcast.
Exactly. That's exactly. So now everybody is a medium for communication. So I would make that kind of I would just say now that the access to things is much, much faster. And so that could create a faster, you know, feeling of being informed, yeah, or over-informed at times.
I mean, that's the point of this. Is like the access to information can be a double-edged weapon.
Right.
As our parents are becoming like more worried about the situation.
Right.
And as us, well, you just became like kind of like with more possibilities. But I think that the what is considered now Generation Z, that was born almost with an iPad or a tablet, they are just like falling apart on their social skills, because now they are getting like more used to be like independent in the regards of just like being investigating by themselves, just playing by themselves. They don't going out by the reasons it may be. They're just getting used to like virtual contact.
Right.
So no more like go playing soccer to the park, no more like falling from the bike while learning. It's like those things happen in your generation and in, well, like also in my generation.
Right.
Like the, yes, the young generation Z.
Right.
So that was my point. That given this, all this information is overwhelming in several ways. Not talking only about like crime and insecurity, just about like the possibilities are so endless that now they may seem as good, but there are like some cons of it.
Okay, I do see that. I do see the points. And like I said, there's going to be a variation between family to family, country to country, socioeconomic status in general. There are going to be those variations. But in general, I believe we can conclude that, you know, these generation definitions are true to the greater extent. And so what I would like to do now is kind of make a transition to the topic of how we see generation gaps influence in the way that we work in what we do, which is teaching second, third languages. I'd like to make that transition, and I want to make it now. All right, Rich, so let's talk about this whole topic we introduced at the beginning of the podcast, which was motivation and demotivation in the classroom. You and I have had the opportunity to interact with baby boomers all the way through Generation Z, and How do you see this? Or what comes to your mind more, just like by default? What kind of ideas? What kind of, you know, testimonies rise up to your mind right away as you think of this generational gaps and their way to see motivation and the motivation in the classroom?
First, a huge disaster, man.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
No, I'm kidding, but the truth is that many people think that it is almost impossible for them to work together or even to be in the same place. But no, I mean, most of the people I have met during my classes have been very cool. They like working, they like studying, they are there because they want to learn a new language. So, well, yes, they're very good. Of course, I need to mention that some of the ideas that we have about a certain generation may be true for some people, but that is like the fewest of students I have ever had.
Yeah, I would say I'm more or less in the same terrain that you're in. I would only make I would only highlight the experiences that I might have had, and these would be out of the ordinary experiences with baby boomers, in the sense of, you know, how they become very easily demotivated when people are not committed, when they don't arrive on time, when they don't follow the process the way it is indicated for students to follow. I just see a great level of demotivation, and that in itself turns into sort of like a desire to take on some sort of, you know, motherly or fatherly role, and sort of being reminiscent about how the old days used to be and in my times and so forth. I have had a good, you know, a good deal of interactions like that, and they were unfortunate, but at the same time, I think they were just like an emblematic, you know, representation to, or emblematic reminder to students of how other generations reach success. Now, I understand that the older ones, from Xers all the way up to Zs, maybe they'll just disregard things because they'll synchronize and synthesize things or concepts in a much, much faster way than the previous generation, or the previous generation, in this case, baby boomers. And so they get tired of following the rules and the procedure the whole time, because they can just swallow it up, not by osmosis, but nearly something like that in terms of thought process. So I would say that those are the highlights that come to mind, but they have been the least. And as you said, I have found that it's just more uniform all across the board. And well,
Well, but also uniformity is a good thing for the class sometimes. As you generate discussions between them, some of their ideas, maybe not between boomers and X, but when you put together a boomer and a millennial or well, the generation Z is very, very uncommon to see nowadays. But still, just the background they have, talking about, for example, I don't know, media and experiences is very different, as you have been saying. So just imagine what can come out of that interaction. It's just hilarious to me, trying to make them understand, like the elder people just trying to make young people understand that it's about hard work, and right. Young people just defending the I want things fast and I want now. Of course, this is also a prejudice, but sometimes. Yeah, it just comes like that, and it's undeniable.
No, and you know, and you're right. I mean, I definitely see the positive interaction that can happen and that has happened, at least in the context that I've been involved in. Yes, oftentimes if people are receptive, and of course, if we as teachers kind of create that environment, I believe people will be very, very receptive, even if ideas are completely different from the way they see them. So overall, I think it's not only what we can see as far as their interaction is, but it's also how much we're in control or how much we try to push for an environment of tolerance, respect, and so forth. And I think in the measure that we can do that, we're going to have much, much successful, you know, sessions, just because it's hard for us to get even rid of the prejudice that we have coming from our own generation and how we see things. So we have to do a good job of taking ourselves out of the picture and just looking for the entire benefit of the whole. And I think that anytime we can do that, we're definitely going to have success. And so far we have had, like I said, with a few discrepancies, with a few, you know, minor, you know, roadblocks in the way, but nothing that has ever gotten out of hand. So, that's my take on it, Rich. I believe that's your take on it. And any last thoughts or comments?
Yeah, not for me.
All right. Well, friends, we want to thank you and for tuning into this podcast. We want to motivate you to keep on tuning on to the future ones. And please, you're going to find this in various resources from iTunes to anywhere else. And wherever you find it, please make sure you leave your comments. We look forward to hearing from you, okay? See you on the next one.
See you there.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.